Amen. So I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. I don't hear enough pages turning. You got to bring your Bibles to church. And if you have a phone and you use that, then I want you to get the app that I can hear the pages turning, because it makes me feel better. Praise God. That's how I roll. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 7. It says, but to each one of us, grace was given. Hallelujah. We can stop right there. Amen. To each one of us, grace was given. Aren't you glad the law wasn't given to each one of us? The law is given. No, to each one of us, grace has been given. Amen. Wow. Thank you for the grace of God. Amen. It's been, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And how many know that he withholds no good thing from his children? And the Bible says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of life, light, and that there is nothing that he withholds. No good thing will he withhold from his children. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, meaning Jesus, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. I don't have time to teach this whole thing to you. I taught it on a Wednesday night. But prior to the time of the blood of Jesus being taken to the Holy of Holies of heaven and being received as an offering for our sin, when people died, even if they were righteous in faith, they did not yet go to heaven. Listen, they went to a place called Sheol. Okay, and paradise was on one half, also called Abraham's bosom. On the other half was Hades. And Jesus talked about this when he told the story about a man named Lazarus. By the way, whenever he told parables, he told them a parable and says, there was a man and this and that. But in this particular case, he took the guy's name and said, there was a guy named Lazarus, true story. Okay? And this Lazarus guy was in Hades. No, Lazarus was in the rich man was in Hades, and Lazarus was being comforted in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man was saying, he could see Lazarus. There was a chasm between them, but he could see him. And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and come just put it on my tongue, just a drop of water, because I'm in such agony in these flames. And they were side by side. Paradise, Abraham's bosom on one side, and on the other side, basically hell. And then when Jesus ascended, he led captivity captive, and he emptied out Abraham's bosom, paradise. He actually took all those souls from the past that were had made righteous by faith, even Old Testament, you're made righteous by faith, and he led them into heaven so that they could come into the presence of God, because now it was not the blood of a goat or a lamb, but it was the blood of the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, Jesus himself. So it says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and at that time he gave gifts to men. Everyone say gifts. The word is doma, okay? Doma, gifts. And it means those that have been called from the womb to ministry. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself, this is speaking of Jesus, by the way. Jesus is the one that calls people into the ministry. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. For what purpose? The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise God. That has not completely happened yet, which means that all five offices are still in operation. People have been taught that all there is pastors. That's why pastors are burning out and literally killing themselves. Literally. Because there's also the ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist, all the rest, that God has set these things in the body of Christ. He said he set these things in the church, and the church age is still going on, and so these ministries still go on, amen? But there are those that are called from the womb to stand in ministry offices, and today we're going to welcome two more. But I want you to meet those that have already, God has already called to this house. Most of you know them, but if you do not know them, I want you to know who they are. And I want to welcome first Pastors David and Pastors Jet to the stage. Praise God. They are of course the most wonderful youth pastors, you know, that are teaching our kids, you know, how to get after God. Amen. You know. When I first walked in the door, there wasn't a kid in the church that would lift their hand or worship God or sing, or they just had no interest in the presence of God and didn't understand. And all that's changing, praise God, because the Lord has brought the right people at the right time for the job. Amen. Most of you know the story. For those of you who don't, I'll quickly tell you. When I needed a youth pastor, is what I thought a youth pastor. I need a youth pastor, student ministry pastor. I began to pray. I came in the sanctuary here. It was dark. I put on Misty Edwards worship. I laid on my face right there, and in 3 minutes, I had a vision, and the Lord answered. I'll tell you what. I wish that most of the time when I went to pray, it was that quickly. You know, it's very rarely that it's that quickly, but in 3 minutes, I had a vision of them, and I specifically in the vision saw Jet playing the guitar. And I had met them once at a conference in Wisconsin. And while I saw them in the vision, the Lord spoke to me and said, these people will run with you. And you have to understand, this is at a time when many people were telling me, we don't want to run with you. And so my heart was immediately drawn to them. And, you know, I was just so happy. And I went to the board at the time and I said, look, you guys need to take a step of faith because I need to hire them both. I want the husband and I want the wife. Can you say amen? So I met them at that conference up there. And, the night that I got to preach at this conference in Wisconsin, Jet led worship. And you guys have probably heard this story, but she had one of the songs that she sang was an original song that she wrote. And it was just filled with such depth of the word, from the word, that I thought, wow, these people are deep, you know. And I got to hang around them. And the next day we went out for pizza and Dave and I were hanging. And you know, and I'm just like, man, this is like the coolest guy I've ever met, you know. And I'm like, I wish that my kids could meet. This is literally what I thought. I actually got on, was texting Hannah, and I was like, I met these really cool people, and, you know, and they're from Colorado. We'll probably never see them again, but I wish you could meet these people. I just wanted to tell you. And, you know, and then I go to pray, and these people that I met one time a year ago that I thought I'd never see again and had not talked to, all of a sudden, there they are right in front of me. And there's like, these are the youth pastors, you know. So I'm like, we're hiring them both. I want the husband. I want the wife. I want the two of them. And so I told the board, they're coming out here. And I hadn't even talked to them yet. And I was like, we're going to hire the husband. We're going to hire the wife. I know who they are. It's so easy when God tells you these are the people, then, you know, you're like, these are the people they met. And so I got a similar story for the Family Life pastors. We're going to get to them. But I also want to welcome our associate pastors, Pastor Brian and Pastor Angela, to the stage. Praise God. So at that same conference that I was at, I met Pastor Brian and Pastor Angela. And at the time that I went, I didn't want to go. I was teaching full-time. I was pastoring full-time. I was coaching, and I was sick. And it was Wisconsin, and it was in the winter, and who the heck wants to go to Wisconsin? You know what I mean? I can get cheese right here in Florida, you know. So, and I really was trying to get out of it, but I felt like the Lord told me to go, and it was part of Global Outreach, was my covering, and Pastor Dean was like, you're going. So, you know, I got on the plane, and I went out there, and I just think, what if I'd listened to my flesh and not gone? My entire staff so far, I wouldn't have met them, you know? And I got to tell you, we worship God for a really long time, and not a lot of people understand that, but I want to tell you Pastor Angela's story. She tells it better than I do, but I'm going to tell you this part. We worshiped one night at the conference for about 3 hours, and she had flown there with Pastor Brian to the conference. She was about 35 to 40 pounds lighter than she is now, and you could see that she's not like a fat person, you know? And not that there's anything wrong with that. Round is a good shape, right? Praise God. But you can only imagine her 40 pounds later, though. And she had flown there. And what happened was she had an autoimmune disease, and she literally couldn't eat anything. She was living off of broth. That was it. And they sent her home from work basically to die. And all the doctors had said, there's nothing that we can absolutely do for you. And she went to the altar and she worshiped God for 3 hours. And in the time that she worshiped three hours, the Holy Spirit fell on her and instantly healed her and healed her whole body. We went out to lunch the next day at that Apple place. Remember the Apple place? I forget the name of it, but you remember that? And she ate prime rib. Yeah, can you imagine that? That's the Lord right there. Listen, she is a carnivore, okay? She really is. Yeah. So she's like, she couldn't eat all that for all those years. So now she's like, I'm going to, you know, make up for lost time. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. So, but she got totally and radically healed. And, you know, it's just like when Rachel came up and testified, or she kind of prayed for us and just kind of said to the Lord how she felt from the overflow of her heart. Because when the presence of God is in the house, people get touched. And what happens is God goes to and fro, the Bible says, looking for those that will worship him. I mean, there's a lot of worship services going on. And, you know, yes, we're two or three are present, there he is. But there's something called the manifest presence of God, which comes in and does all the things that we saw Jesus do when he was on the earth. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Jesus was the exact representation of the Father's will. Are you hearing me? And so when we look at Jesus, Jesus said, if you see the Son, you see the Father. And so the enemy's worked hard to twist our thinking to wonder, does God want me to do this or that? And if you just read the scriptures, you'll find God's will revealed in the things that Jesus did and the things Jesus said, because he said, I don't do anything or say anything unless I see and hear the Father do it. So it's all coming from the Father's heart. That is his will towards you. Remember when the leper, the unclean, came into the clean and said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he said, I am. And the clean touched the unclean. Religion wants to stone that guy and say, ostracize him and keep him away, but the Spirit of God wants to touch him and turn him clean just like he is. You understand? Amen. And so he said, I am willing. Right after that, a centurion came and said, my servant lies at the point of death. And the very next words that came out of the mouth of Jesus says, I will come and heal him. You understand? That's his will. When you read the scriptures, it is revealed in the things that he said and the things that he did. That is the heart of the Father. Can you say amen? That manifest presence comes into a place when people are less worried about the time and more worried about actually meeting with a God that saved them. Kick the religion at the door. And if you don't like what I'm saying, I love you, God bless you, find a new church. I'm not trying to be mean, but you won't be comfortable in an atmosphere where people are going after God. And maybe if you sit in a religious atmosphere long enough, you'll get thirsty and hungry for something more than religion. This is not about checking your card. And, you know, this is about, I want an encounter with a living God. You know, we worship 3 hours at night, and I'm sure that there might have been a couple people there that are like, why are we going so long? How about because God wants to break in and touch somebody that for 18 months could need anything? You know, you understand? Because he had a plan for her life from the womb to be a minister of the gospel, and she was dying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Same God wants to come to Citrus Springs. Are there not needs here? Physical, financial. I mean, there's so much brokenness. It's everywhere. There's so much dysfunction. Everywhere you go, it is, and God wants to break in, you know? But the thing is the Bible says, wait on the Lord, and he'll renew your strength. And sometimes that takes longer than an hour and 15 minutes. Hello. That's it. Amen. Praise God. So listen, they taught me something. When I met them, immediately I was drawn in. In the first 10 minutes that I met them, I went to Dean and I was like, I think that they're supposed to come and help me build the church in Florida, you know? And then I found out that Brian he's a rocket scientist. Like, he literally is, you know? So all those rocket scientist jokes, like, we really enjoy those, you know? It's not like I'm a rocket scientist, and he's like, I am, you know. And this is a true story. I was telling him, I was like, it's so crazy that you're like an actual rocket scientist. Here's what he said to me. The rocket is a piece of cake. It's the satellite I got to build to get up there. And I'm just like, I don't understand your world. But I can make a killer spaghetti sauce, you know. We all have our gifts, praise God. But I want you to understand something. I don't mean to embarrass them and all the rest. But listen, they have come out here and they have given up and sacrificed so much to answer the call for Jesus coming to Citrus Springs. Brian was a supervisor of over 200 other engineers. And when he came out here, here's what he did. He took a 50% cut in pay and he stepped down from being the supervisor to becoming one of those 200. You understand what I'm saying to him? And he still supports the family enough and works very hard so that Pastor Angela, she actually pastors and works full time here at the church and does not take a cent. Now someone says, Pastor, pay her. I have tried to many times. I have gone and said, we're at a place, we can pay you a salary, we can give you something, can we help you? And they have prayed about it and said, the Lord said, no, we are to do this and to give our lives and to serve. You understand? They had a flat overlooking like Rocky, the Colorado Rockies where they play in downtown Denver. I mean, you know, I was like, they're not coming to Citrus Springs. They're just, you know, oh, ye of little faith. And then here's what happened. When they walked in the door, Pastor Angela got hit with the same presence that she felt the night that she got healed, and they sold their flat, you know, quit their jobs, and, you know, and came back out here to Florida and restructured their entire lives and started all over because they want that presence. You understand? Oh, what a staff it is. In my weak moments, I look at my staff and I think, oh, God's totally doing something here. He would not have wasted these people and the people I'm about to introduce on this place if he was not coming here to move and do something. Praise God. So when I started realizing that we were going to need family life pastors, and truthfully, this has been in my heart for a long time, I look at Dave and Jet and I look at Brian and Angela and I'm like, I want a couple. I want the husband and the wife. I swing for the fences. It's a very difficult job to do if it's not you and your spouse kind of on the same page, you know? It, right? You're ministering to kids and, you know, it's tough, you know? And you know, and it's easier with the couple. And that seems to be the trend here. And so I had the first couple that came up to me in my mind and in my heart, really, and I wanted them so badly, I thought, they won't ever do it, you know? I was like, they're just so entrenched and successful and all the stuff that they're doing. I don't, you know. But then I looked at them, and I thought, Well, they came. So I went over to the land. You know, we own the 6 acres across from Central Ridge School. By the way, I got the 3D rendering. We're going to show it to you soon of the new building. Praise God. I mean, it's awesome. The architect was texting me yesterday, like, saying, you got to see, it's got a whole silo and the whole barn. And I mean, it is insane. Harvest Church at the barn is going to be. And we're so excited. So I was over at the land, and I was clearing the path because a lot of people go over and pray. And I was thinking about this, and I was like, God, I really want them. I mean, they would be so perfect. They're the people I want. We love them, you know, but they won't, you know, but they won't come and all the rest. And the Lord spoke to me. I was raking. And he spoke to me like he spoke to me about them, and he spoke to me about them. And here's what he said to me. He just whispered this, and he said, ask them. And I knew at that moment, they're coming. You understand? You know, I wish you could feel what I'm feeling when I tell you what I'm saying, because this is such an answer to prayer for me. So I called the husband and I said, you know, is there any way that you could come to the land, you know, and meet me at some point? So he came to the land. I set him up. I walked him around the property and I stopped right in front of the school. And I said, just dream with me for a second about all the families that are going in and out of here and that are coming in and out. There's almost 1,000 kids there, and then the middle school, right? There's almost 1,000 kids at the middle school. Right behind the elementary school is the 70-acre zone to build the next high school. And God gave us the 6 acres right across the street. At one point, it was for sale for almost $500,000. We paid $38,000 cash for it. You understand? Yeah. So you stand on that property and you hear all the kids across the street, and you know, we got a bunch of teachers in that school that are in this church, and you hear all the kids and all the rest, and you realize very quickly what God wants to do with those families in the community. So, you know, and then he took his wonderful wife to the property, and they prayed, and they went through the process, and they heard from the Lord, and they, very similar to them all, are in the process of laying things down to be able to come on staff. They'll be full-time in January, although they're already starting to get their feet wet and some stuff, but give them some space because they've got some things to completely lay down before that they're able to come on full-time. But they're going to start January 2nd as their official first start day. And so in a moment here, I'm going to have you stand your feet and give your warmest welcome to truly some of the most amazing people that I've ever met on the planet. Anticipation. Praise God. Listen, when I told you guys, because I gave the description, I was like, this is what I want. And he was like, I don't know if you're going to be able to find somebody that can do all that. And so I was like, well, let me tell you who I'm considering. Because these people can keep 10 balls up in the air, and they are as deep and as real and authentic and as awesome as they possibly come. And so if you would stand to your feet and welcome with me our newest pastors, our family life pastors, Brian and Patience Cavanaugh.
we're shocked. This is the first we've heard of it.
Yeah, we just found out too, so. We are so excited. Thank you, each and every one of you. We are family. We are with you guys. We want to encourage our families. You know what? Encouragement is like oxygen to the soul. Turn to your neighbor and say, it looks like you need some encouragement. All right, turn to your other neighbor, your obvious second choice, and say, you need more encouragement. And with that, I'm going to let my beautiful wife, Pastor Patience, encourage you, and I'll be back.
Thank you very much. We are so happy to be here, and we just want to say a special thanks to Pastor Rob and Pastor Chris and the board and everybody who has kind of prayed us into this position, and we are very excited about it. Even the babies. So I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about it. And when Pastor had come to us and he said, I want you to take on the role of family life pastor. And that's a little different connotation than children's pastor. Not that there's nothing wrong with children's pastor. We're excited about kids. This is awesome. But I liked the idea of family life pastor because God created the idea of family. So I wanted to tell you guys a little story. We were at a wedding a couple of weeks ago. And it was a beautiful wedding. The bride was lovely. The groom was handsome. And we're sitting there and we watched the wedding. And then afterwards, I'm talking with a dear friend of mine. And she's telling me how she had anxiety as they're saying their vows. And I totally related with it. She's like, it's just such a commitment that they're making. And I want them to know what a commitment it is. And I'm like, yeah, I felt that too. You know, she's like, my palms were sweaty. So Pastor Otis is there and he's kind of listening in and he's like, well, you guys know the idea of family and marriage, it's not a man-made institution. It's an institution created by God. And I thought there and I'm like, oh yeah. So God made this idea of children and families, and he made it to be a picture of himself. And there's a scripture, it's a Revelation 4:8, and it talks about these four living creatures that from the beginning of time have been in the presence of God, and they're covered with wings, but their bodies from head to toe, even inside, it says, are covered in eyes. And they go around the throne of God. They're flying around, and every time they go around, they see a new aspect of God, a new aspect of his goodness, his love, his mercy. And as they're flying around, they cry, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And every time they go around, they see something else, and it compels them to go around again to see another aspect of his goodness. And I was thinking about that and the idea that we're not in heaven. Here we get to worship, and it's a little bit of it. But on a day-to-day basis, what is our picture of God? And I started thinking about the family. And there's so many areas, the different relationships that you think of that show us God's love towards us on a day-to-day basis. And I was thinking about my own life and the commitment that I've made to my husband and that he's made to me to be with us, to be together until death do us part. And that's God's commitment to us. Or I think about the first time that I held my kids in my arms after I had given birth to them. And this extreme feeling of, I will love you and I will nurture you and I will do the very best that I can to take care of you. Or I think about the relationship between a father and a son. And I just got this picture in my mind of a dad who's, you know, watches his son play his baseball game, and the son does the best that he can, but the team still loses. And the dad puts his arm around his son, and he says, you know what, son, I love you even in your failures. Or I think about the relationship of sisters and the strong bond that's there when you can talk to your sister, you can pick up the phone and call her, you can have late night conversations of laughing and crying and everything that is related with day-to-day life. And that's a picture of God's love and his friendship that he wants to have with each and every one of us. So as I was thinking about all of this, I'm like, well, why do we still have this anxiety, that can come with the idea of family. And the real reason is because Satan is against our families. He wants to cause dysfunction. And I one time said to my brother, I'm like, you put the fun in dysfunctional. But there's so many things that Satan is constantly bombarding us with. And if we're not real careful, it comes on us so kind of slowly that we don't even realize it. And we get pressured and we don't appreciate our families because we've got the stress of this thing and that thing. And I started thinking about the cultural messages that we get. You know, there's certain things like for kids. We were in staying at a hotel the other day, and I was flipping through channels, and we don't watch TV very often, but I was shocked at how many shows showed parents as completely clueless. And that's the message that our kids are getting, like, your parents don't understand you, you know, they don't go through what you go through, they're aloof doing their own thing. And that's the wrong message. We don't want that to be the message that our kids get. Or you can do it alone. That's another strong message that's out there. Like, you just do it by yourself. You just push through. No, your family is there to help you, to guide you, to give you encouragement, to show you, hey, you know, we tried it this way and it didn't work. So maybe you could, you know, try a different way. And there's two ways you learn. There's by experience and learning in the classroom. And the classroom's a lot easier. So if we can give that wisdom to our kids, how much further can they go? And then there's another message that says, you know what, the most important thing is your happiness, which is not the case. You know, they say, well, if you're not happy, you know, you can negate all the commitments you've made. If you don't feel like showing up, if you don't feel like being there, then it's not really a big deal. But the reality is that our culture and the American society is suffering because the families are torn apart. And that has a lot to do with people not showing up and not playing their roles. So we want to, you know, go at this new year and kind of look at what are the roles that we have in not only to each other, but to our kids, to the people around us. You know, there's two kinds of ways people can not show up. They can decide, hey, I'm just not going to be there at all. Or you can be there in body, but you're not there mentally. I have a daughter, and she tells us sometimes, she goes, Mom, put your ears on. I need to tell you something. Because I'm there, but I'm not there. So I'm encouraging you guys to be intentional about your relationships with your family. And the part that you play is so vital and so important. And last thing I want to say with all of that is that we need God. Yeah. We cannot do it by ourselves. Even with our best efforts, we fall flat on our faces. So all of that, there's a scripture that says, Psalms 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the people who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman guards in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bed of painful labor, for God gives to the ones he loves even in their sleep. And then it talks about the children. It says, children are a heritage of the Lord, the offspring and his reward. Like an arrow in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of your youth. And the children that God has given us, children that God has given Brian and I, and the ones that he's giving us to shepherd over, we are so excited about. We want to help them. We want to help you guys to be intentional, to give people the tools and the motivation to go out there and just help our kids be the people that God has called them to be. So thank you all very much. We love you. And this is my wonderful husband. Give him a good round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you. Good job. Good job. Pastor Patience, thank you. We should just close in prayer. How do I? Ushers. Ushers. Ush. Ush. It is a privilege to share ministry with my wife at home, and now to be able to come here to Harvest and do it with her here. Because I visualized that, Pastor, when you asked. I had to see, you know, visualize. And the unique part about that, you know, the reason we said yes is all this vision really started coming very, very quickly. And we didn't have to think about it. You know, you take a test, and you mentally have to focus on the material, right? This, it was just one thing after another, imagery, God's provisions and so forth. And then I could visualize patients and I working with this wonderful team of pastoral care here, right? Working with the elders, working with the volunteers. It was just, it just came right in. You know, and the Bible says, my people perish for a lack of what? Knowledge and vision. There's just something that you need to gravitate towards, right? So I'm going to share with you a couple principles today, but I'm going to take you back to 2007 first. Take a look at this couple here. Oh, yeah. It's a side profile. I'm glad that this one is here because it does show you that men with larger noses get beautiful wives. And Pastor says amen. Miss Chris, you would confirm. Sweet. Doesn't look like there's much of a seat there, Pastor. Okay. She can see your nose from here. And we were so blessed. Let's go ahead and show you who married us back in 2007. Look at that handsome guy. I'm talking about Pastor Rob. And shortly after the marriage, you know, he caught me in the parking lot and he had a question for me. He said, hey, want to be my family life pastor someday? I couldn't help but notice he had like some kind of sharp weapon here in his hand. I said, how about in a couple years? He's convincing. What can I say? In his words and actions. And really, you know, he blessed us that day, and he has been a blessing in our family for so many years. And when he asked us to come back in 2016 to help out, just to serve, just to help, aid, encourage, fill in here, fill in there, I answered that call and said yes. I said yes. And we've been blessed. We've had a bunch more kids to add to the children's ministry. We can add some more, might adopt some. But it's been such a privilege. So when he asked me, of course, you know the butterflies that you can get, right? And I'm just staring at him, and he's telling me about Central Ridge School. And I started to visualize right along with him. And it was a pleasure to say yes to this position. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about, oh, baby Brian's birthday is tomorrow. This is my youngest. I know, he looks just like his mom. Whoa. Ushers. Yeah, he dodged the bullet. He doesn't have the nose, but we can get him a nose job someday so he can get a beautiful wife. I'm kidding. Another reason I felt that saying yes to family life pastors was because of the trust. I'm going to give you a definition of trust here. I looked it up. Trust, firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Listen, I've worked with this pastoral team. I've worked with the volunteers. I've worked with some of you, okay? And you know what? I look on the horizon and I say, this is a place you can trust. You can trust the people you're working with. And with that said, how many more can we go and reach? Because we have this trust here. How many more? Do you want to reach any more? Is it R4 and no more? Do you want to reach some more? Raise your hand if you want to reach some more. Do you want to reach this region? I see a lot of yeses. And I'm going to be looking for you because I need some help back there in the children's ministry, okay? So keep your hands up again. Okay, there's like 50% that did not raise their hand that time. Do we need to go back to the trust factor? All right, play this video. Let's look at real trust here.
Fall, and it'll be an exercise in building trust between one another. So Harrison, if you don't mind going first, step up here on this chair and close your eyes. All right, and then everybody fill in, and we're going to ask you to fall, and then they will catch you. So you have to trust us. So I'm going to count to three. Just relax and fall, okay? One, two, three. No, wait, no, no!
All right, Pastor Brian, we want you to demonstrate the trust. Just come on up here, Pastor. Straight. I am so thankful that's not the kind of trust, the brand of trust that we have here, okay? Whew. Amen. I'm going to talk to you about four biblical principles. Everybody say four biblical principles. And there's spiritual principles. I'm going to make it real simple for you. It's like the heartbeat of what we have going into children's ministry, going into family life ministry is hear, pray, talk, live. Everybody say that.
Hear, pray, talk, live.
Pretty good. Do it again.
Hear, pray, talk, live.
A little faster. You're slowing down. All right. Hear, pray, talk, live. We want our children. We want you. We want us. I have the responsibility to hear from God. Point to yourself. Say, I have the responsibility to hear from God. And that's reading His Word. But not just reading His Word. It's allowing the Word to speak to you. Regular exposure to and daily intake of the Word of God. Now, we're not just talking about Sunday. We're talking about Monday through Saturday. What's going on there? And that's important to us. And that should be important to you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Do you want your children to have faith? Yeah. They have to hear the word. And, you know, it's interesting that the human ear can handle so much noise. There's some dangerous noise, such as fireworks, gunshots, custom car stereos, jackhammers, ambulances, jet planes. Yes, sir, I see that hand back there. Yes, your wife yelling at you for longer than 30 seconds will damage your eardrum. Yeah, so these are things that are not so good for your ear. But I'll tell you what, I'll submit to you today. Hearing the word of God has no negative effect on you. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's no negative effect. Hearing the word of God. Yeah, so we also want our children not only hear, but we want them to be able to pray. Everybody say pray. You know, we want our kids not only to see us pray for people, right? Where's Scott? Scott here? With the kids, Scott Steffer. Okay. So about a month or so ago, maybe 2 months, someone had encouraged my daughter, Caitlin, to pray over Scott Steffer. And he had an issue with his back. She was instructed to lay hands on him. She was instructed to pray scripture. And right then and there, Scott walked away and had no more pain in his back. That happened through our children here. Do you want to see more of that? They need to hear and they need to pray, right? Not only that they hear us pray, model that, but they get to pray for us. And they get to pray for those around them. Amen? So there's this man a few months ago. His name is Dave. And see, I have a company that we do pressure cleaning. And he came to me and said, Brian, I have issues with my legs. They're exploding. They're huge. And you could see all the blood running through them. And I think of it this way. When someone tells me something bad is going on, I think of what the word says about that circumstance. And I feel like sometimes when they're telling me their issue, what they are doing inadvertently is asking me to pray for them. So I pulled the guy aside, and I had Pastor Dave and Andrew there, and I said, guys, I'm going in. Pray for me. They were there with me on this job. I pulled the man aside, and I told him a story about when my neck was healed from a car accident I was in back in 2000. I shared the story with him very simply. I shared the gospel with him very simply. Someone laid hands on me, and the left side of my neck after we said amen was warm, fuzzy, and no more pain on that side. That was the side of my neck that was injured. I shared that story with the man, and I said, the word says that a good report is from the Lord. And the next time I talk to you, I said, we're going to hear a good report because you're going to walk this out. We're going to hear a good report because the good report is of the Lord. He calls me about 3 weeks later. I almost forgot. I'll be honest with you, I almost forgot. He calls and he's like, Brian, are you coming to clean out my gutters today? I was like, yeah, let me check the calendar. And wait a second. He's calling me and it just came back. I'm like, hey, how you doing? He said, Brian, I was sick. Before that, I was okay. But I am better than okay. I am better than okay. So we want to model this prayer because, listen, it's not about me. Mm-mm. But if you see hurting people, what do hurting people do? Hurting people hurt people. When you see a hurting people out there and your kids are equipped, we're equipped, and it comes and God gives you opportunity, and then you're ready, you're prayed up, you've been hearing the word of God, you've been prayed up on it, then all of a sudden there's this manifestation, there's this moment that you get to change someone's life and God uses you. You think our kids can have that happen to them? Can it happen to you? Turn to your neighbor and say, it could happen to you. Turn to your other neighbor, your obvious second choice. I love saying that. We could look at prayer this way, though. Go ahead and put up the acronym. Prayer. Pray. Back. One more. Pour out your heart. Realize God will answer. Always believe and say thank you. Yield to do what he says. Now, how many of us know, and I fall in this category, that this one we don't do sometimes. So we have a problem. Who would, by a show of hands, say, I need to yield a little bit more? Okay, there's only five honest people in the church today, Pastor. That's all of us. Come on. All right, you can look at prayer this way. Let's look at this acronym if you didn't like that one. Prayer releases all your eternal resources. Amen? See, there's preemptive prayer, and then there's reactive prayer. Now, preemptive prayer, you know, that's whenever you pray early in the morning, right? Before you get out into your day. Before you get out into the troubles of the day, right? So then when you meet up with those troubles of the day, you have a supply because you prayed it out. Now, thank God for reactive prayer. Reactive prayer is, oh God, this happened. My question to you is this. Would you like to pray before the surgery or after the surgery? So we want to teach our kids preemptive prayer, praying before you go. Obviously, prayer as you go and prayer whenever it happens. Does that make sense? So that's what we want to lock in with our students. And I'm not saying that we do not do that already back here. I'm just saying these are some highlights I wanted to share with you. Okay, and then let's go to talk. Let's go to talk. Talk about God. How do you take your faith into culture? How do you take your faith, your relationship, into the school, into the home, down the road, down the hall, in your neighborhood? We want to teach our kids how to talk, how to bring that into their world. Okay? So, for example, when you're going to school, right, and kids are acting out, right? My daughter comes to me and tells me that someone just, you know, someone's yelling at her, someone's treating her mean or whatnot. And I'll say, look, babe, this is what you're going to do. You will not do that anymore. If you want to be friends, I'd like to be friends. But until then, I'm not going to have any of that. And she'll turn and she'll walk away, right? Now, I'll tell you what. I know that sounds... I want to give them the tools on how to handle those situations and circumstances, right? And I want to lock in with what the word says. Why are you laughing so much? I love this. And Miss Rachel, you know, you have said for how many years now? that I would be a pastor. You know, I think the first day that you came, right, and saw Pastor Rob, you had said something. What did you say? I honestly didn't know that, but could you say that a little louder? But my husband. Whew. See, family life, good job. That was what you needed to do. But we want to also teach our kids to live for God. I'm going to give you an example of that. About 2 months ago, I was on Route 44, and there was a major rainstorm. And as I am driving down 44, I see a car up on the embankment with its hazards on. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if they need help. I'm thinking to myself, they probably have a cell phone. Who doesn't have a cell phone, right? And as I'm driving by, I'm obviously praying for them. But I think, hey, what's it going to take for me to turn back around and ask them? I mean, it is raining. The girl is standing out on the sidewalk just kind of staring at traffic. Let me turn around, go to the light, turn around, and go back and see her. So I'm going to fly you in. I started video recording it for my protection, for her protection, because, you know, you don't know what you're going to run into per se. But it was a great adventure as well, and we're going to play that here real quick. All right, so she openly admitted to the officer that she went through a red light. He never wrote the ticket. I'm like, shh, thank you for telling the truth. I share that with you because, you know, I look at every opportunity as a way of sharing the gospel. I know, like I said, there's hurting people out there. Nobody had stopped. She had been there for 15, 20 some minutes. She didn't have a phone. I welcomed her into the car. We did pray. She was frantic at first. You saw her face. She wanted to pray. I said, do you mind if I, and she already knew. She's like, yeah, let's pray. I mean, she was really excited about that. But let's look at Acts 20 and 35 as I get ready to close here. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Everybody say it's more blessed to give than to receive. So as I close here, I want our kids to hear from God. I want our kids to pray. I want our kids to talk about him. And I want our kids to live for him. Don't you? If you bow your heads and close your eyes, if that's you today and you say, Brian, that really speaks to me. I want to be able to hear more, pray more, talk more, live more for the Lord. Go ahead and raise your hand. Go ahead and raise your hand. I'm not going to call you to the front or anything. That's just saying to God, that's me. I want that. I want to hear more, pray more, talk more, live more. Because you know what? You're going to see more. You're going to see more of him moving in your heart and your life. In your kids' lives, your grandkids' lives, your neighborhood. All right, so Father God, by the show of hands, if that's you raising your hand, thank you, Father. Increase for them to hear. Increase for them to pray. Increase for them to talk about you. Increase for them to live for you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this moment. Let this be a turning point where there is more fuel added to their fire right now through your Holy Spirit. That you lead them and guide them in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And Jesus, you get the honor. You get the glory. You get the praise. And they have a wonderful testimony and story for you. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Did you get anything today? Did you get anything? Amen. Thank you, Father God.
I swing for the fences, man. I'm telling you, when I stay here. When I told Pastor Dave, I went out in the parking lot and I told Pastor Dave, I said, I want to bring Brian and Patience on staff as Family Life pastors. He goes, man, we're going to be the dream team. You know, it's like, I was like, I know, it's so awesome. Yeah, we're so happy to have you guys, and we're look forward to all that God's going to do. Praise God. I'm going to call Pastor Patience, you come on up, and all the elders to come, and we're going to just pray over them. That's what the Bible says, to lay hands on them and pray over them, and the Holy Spirit says separate them under the work that I've called them to. So I'm going to have Elders Brett and Norma lead us in this, and if you could all stand to your feet and extend a hand, and right after this, we're going to close service. Amen.
Quick question before we pray. Did you have any idea of the worship songs that we were going to sing this morning? Mm-mm. No. Okay. We sang that last song. It says, I called, you answered, and came to my rescue. Your acronym for pray, pour out your heart. Realize God will answer. Always believe and say thank you. He will come to our rescue, and we need to yield to what he says. God's really good at connecting dots. When we were in prayer before first service, I was standing next to Angela, and she had her book open, and as I glanced over to it, I saw you had written the word funnel. And I've thought about that word before. Second service, we're here, and we're praying, and the imagery you talk about sometimes just comes to me, and then I see, you know, plumbing, a big pipe going into a little pipe, and I'm like, okay, what's that?
Yeah.
You and your business with the power washing, you have a hose and it funnels down into a nozzle. And what happens to that water as it comes through the hose and come out to that nozzle? There's power. Yeah. There is power in that. Before you even said it, I wrote down the word intentional, and you say it twice and it's like, whew. So this is the word, as you guys become intentional in what the Lord has given you to do, and you funnel the power that's going to be released into this ministry that he's given to you is going to be phenomenal. Amen. And you can pray.
Amen. We're going to pray, and we're going to start off with a prayer of thanksgiving first. So raise your hands this way. Father, we give you thanks for the gifts that you have sent to us. We are so thankful, Father. Lord, I think of the words grace, vision, passion. I think of the words of mantle. There are several words that come to my mind. Father, we simplistically ask as we pray over Brian and Patience a prayer of thanksgiving that you have sent them to us, and we pray that there will be a mantle upon them. We pray that there will be grace upon them. We pray that the passion that they have will be like a wildfire in this house. We give you thanks for the spirit that they have, for the enthusiasm that they have, the encouragers that they are. We see proving character in their lives. We are so thankful, God, for that you have set them apart to do this work. Now, Lord, this is just the beginning. Lord, Father, this is just the beginning of what you're going to do in this house, whether it's on this property or whether it's in the next place. But, Father, we see beautiful things ahead. So, Father, we just thank you. We actually prophetically speak over their lives and ask for favor, smooth transition, unity among them, that there'll be nothing that the enemy can stir up ever among them to bring anything that would be a stumbling among them and their family. We pray shield, protection, anointing, covering, and we thank you for all these things, God. We are so thankful that these things are released, that prayers would be made on behalf of all men within this body of Christ. Lord, we thank you for these in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We love you guys, and we're so grateful for you guys joining our team. Give me a high five. Come on. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Amen.